Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with Jennifer Coffendaff, a retired FBI special agent, about the shit show that is shabusiness, the Taylor shabusiness story.
Yeah, I've been following it. I was on Court TV last night a little bit about it, so I got caught up, and oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What a great name for her, shabusiness, because that is the business.
And it turns out that's not even the boyfriend or the husband's name. She's married, she has a kid, and the husband changed their last name to shabusiness. I believe it was Shabo was the original, but in some sort of, I'm guessing, methed up moment of clarity, he had the great idea to change it to shabusiness, because it just, yeah.
It fits.
It does, very much. What's your thoughts? We went through this case. We saw all of the horrendous evidence. And of course, the argument being made, this person was not mentally there. She was not competent. She was not aware of what she was doing at the time of the murders. Seeing what we saw in trial, knowing her history, her past, all of her diagnoses, what's your thoughts on how this all played out?
It was certainly a card that had to be played. That was their best bet. But at the end of the day, these were choices she made. And I believe it was really the meth that probably fueled her actions. Tony, I don't know how much you've been around people that have been addicted to meth and involved with meth, not only in trafficking, but using. It is unbelievable what happens to people. And meth and sex go hand in hand. It's a drug that fuels very bizarre sexual behavior. And from personally watching people on this drug, I saw one guy jump out of I think we were on the third story and was fine, escaping us when we were chasing him down. Literally just jump out of the window on meth, out of the slider onto the porch and just jump down and actually live just fine.
Yeah.
So it's a drug that just causes people to really believe they're Superman, so much energy, so much sexual drive. And I really believe that combined with their own depravity just put this case over the edge. It was 30 minutes. That's how long they deliberated.
Very cut and dry. I was surprised by that. And without a doubt, meth seems to be a huge factor in this, on top of I fully believe, obviously, this woman, I think, has serious mental health issues. I guess the question is, cart before the horse, is it the drugs that exacerbated that? Did these issues mentally already exist and also played a role in it? When we saw her in court, it appeared as if she wasn't in the same room with everyone else. She didn't seem to be reacting to things appropriately. And we know that's part of some of the disorder that she's been diagnosed with. But should that have come into account a little bit more? Was this the right decision of, you're guilty, we believe that you were competent doing this, you made this choice, and all the mental illness and all the drugs don't play a factor in our verdict on you?
I think the point they had to make was, did the mental illness drive her to this crime? And one of the things I look back at, did you see the picture she had taken with Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yes.
It was a photo of Jeffrey Dahmer,
yes.
But she took the picture with him. That spoke a lot to me.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing normal about that, Tony, I guess is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And it almost seemed to me as if she looked up with him. Looked up to him, I'm sorry, I should say. And so that, for me, was a window into the soul, if you will. I'm not buying. I understand she's been diagnosed. But the question the jury has to ask was, did she understand right from wrong? And I think she did.
Yeah, I would agree there. It's one of those cases where you look at this, and if you want to go down the road of someone who may just be pure evil as far as their way of carrying themselves, their way of living their life, there doesn't, it just seems there's an energy about her that just is very scary and spooky to a certain extent, whether it's drugs and mental illness or whatever it is. There's something that is very disturbing about this person that I can't imagine is necessarily someone that could be rehabilitated.
I agree. I'm really excited. I was just contacted yesterday from a forensics psychologist, I'm sorry. And she contacted me about working on a project. And her project is exactly about this point. People who commit murders, mass murders, are they mentally incompetent? Are they crazy? What is that line there? And she's just brilliant. I'm looking forward to working with her because she was explaining to me the distinction between truly being crazy and being evil, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. and just using that sort of as an excuse to commit crime.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.